When we want to know if two quantitative variables are associated, but we don't trust either our normal distribution assumption or our interval variable assumption, we turn our attentions to non-parametric statistics, the most common of which is Spearman's correlation. Notice the change in the null hypothesis. We have given up the interval level of measurement, but we have assumed that we have an ordinal level of measurement. Bigger scores mean more of the construct. How much more? Not sure, but more. And so what we're going to do is we're now looking for a rank order relationship between the variables instead of a linear relationship. The notion of linear makes no sense without an interval level of measurement. One way to compute Spearman's correlation is to convert x and y values to ranks and then correlate the ranks using Pearson's correlation formula, applying it to the ranked data. Okay? And in fact, that's how you did it in SPSS for four or five releases. There was not a Spearman's correlation. He had to go in, he had to rank the data, and then stuff it into a Pearson's. People went nuts. People who had been doing Spearman's on SPSS, which invoked this algorithm, for decades, went nuts. The idea is, and this is something we talked about before, rank data are better behaved than value data. Ranks have intervals. This is one of the two really interesting uses of words in statistics. The other one is that quality is almost always a quantitative variable. Because we talk about how much quality, not what kind of quality. Love shit like that. But ranks are evenly spaced. First, second, third, fourth. The ranks are equally spaced. The value underlying the ranks are not. So once we convert them to ranks, we can now ask, is there a linear relationship between the ranks? Okay, because ranks are much better behaved. So another way of thinking about this is that Spearman looks at whether or not there's a linear relationship between the ranks, or we can say it looks for a rank order relationship. Those two are the same thing within this math. The most common formula for Spearman's row is shown on the right. This is one of my favorite formulas in a row because it has an integer in it. I love formulas with integers in them. Now, sometimes the integers are nearly magical. What's the one when you're trying to turn an effect size D into an effect size R? It's D squared over D squared plus 4. You take the square root of that. Okay, that 4 is an approximation. This is not. This is not an approximation. This is an actual calculation. And it's not even derived from calculus because rank order statistics don't need calculus. Rank order statistics live and die on combinations and permutations. If we have five folks, there's only so many orders in which they can line up on X, number of practices. There's only so many orders in which they can line up on number correct. And so there are only so many possible combinations of orders on X and Y. And they are calculable. So we know the probability of any given ordering. So let's take that and look at how this formula operates. What we're going to do first is we are going to turn values into ranks. Okay? So this is the fewest number of practices. It's going to one, second, third, fourth, fifth. Lowest, second, third, fourth, fifth. Okay? And then we're going to take the rank difference. So you can take differences between ranks because ranks are equally spaced. The ranks are interval. The values underlying the ranks aren't. That's the hook in rank order statistics. Rank orders are better behaved than values. And then we take d squared because we really don't care the direction of the difference. We just want to know how much difference there is between where a person is rank ordered on one variable and on the other. We take the sum of those. We plug it into our formula. 6 times the sum of d squared over n, which is 5, times n squared minus 1. And we see, as we have for the other statistics, for smaller samples, we look up at R critical value from the tables. For larger samples, this R is translated into a T, and we use a T table. Remember to express the results in terms of the direction and extent of the rank order relationship. All right, let's take a look at how this formula works, especially the six. Remember that we're working with rank order agreement across variables, a much simpler thing than linear relationship, because there are a finite number of rank order pairs. Yeah?
You said looking up at the t-table, what's the degree of freedom
for n minus 2. Usually. There's a handful of corrections out there.
Okay.
One of the boogers about rank order statistics is that you get ties. And most of the really bloody feuds in nonparametric statistics are about the one true way to handle ties. Whether you take them out, you increase their relative weighting, whether ties can tie, it's not worth it. Yes. Yes. All right, so if there is complete rank order agreement between the variables, if the way the people are ranked on variable 1 and variable 2 is exactly the same ranks, then D will be 0 for each case, no rank difference, D squared will be 0, and the formula becomes 1 minus 0, with the 1 indicating a perfect rank order relationship. Okay, that's the easy one. Don't have to do any trust me's there. If the rank order of the two variables is exactly reversed, then the sum of d squared can be shown to be n times n minus 2 over 1 divided by 3. Okay, there are only so... That's the largest disagreement possible. The largest disagreement possible is based on the number of things that disagree. The more things you have, the more total disagreement there is. Does that make sense? Okay. I mean, if you've only got two people, the rank order can only be off by one. If you've got 40 people and the rank order's off by 40, you're going to get a big D squared. But it's calculable based on the number of cases that have a perfect rank order disagreement. All calculable within the mathematics of permutations and combinations. So the equation numerator becomes 6 times this over 3. Or 2 times this, the numerator becomes 2 times the denominator. And so 1 minus 2 is negative 1, indicating a perfect negative relationship. Okay? All because life is simpler. There's only so many rank orderings. And when we have an exact reverse rank ordering, we know what to expect for the deviation. If there's no rank order between them, then d squared can be shown to be this. So the equation becomes the same as the denominator, 1 minus 1, 0, indicating no rank order correlation. Okay? And that's why people who like ranks. For a given number of people, I can tell you exactly how much deviation there is based on how many differ by how much. And this was comforting, because you got to remember that when rank order statistics became popular, we didn't have high-speed computers yet. And doing calculus derivations was a nightmare. And suddenly, not only did you not have to do any sort of calculus derivation to get the formula, you didn't need a calculus derivation to calculate the critical value tables. All you needed was permutations and combinations. Much simpler math. I mean, you know, not hard at all compared to cranking out a different moment generating function for every combination of degrees of freedom. This is a lot easier. Also, there's mathematical tricks for solving some of these with large numbers of n and deducing what happens with smaller numbers of n. You don't actually have to resolve. There's a relationship between n and this formula that you can use to simplify all of this a whole bunch.